good. It's good to know that. I think I can do that. Good morning, brothers. When Mac and Linda were in their trip in October, November, they, of course, they went to several countries, and apparently he got to see Jim Tollerton and bookstore and on and on and on, the details, but he brought me this book on Eric Little's life. Some of you know about him, some of you don't, but he was really made more known in the famous movie Chariots of Fire, early 80s, where it features Eric as a Christian runner from Scotland and Harold Abrahams, a runner that was Jewish. And the movie's fairly accurate. This author helped support in that, but he pointed out the discrepancies, but that's not my intent. My intent was, when Matt gave it to me, I was excited because not that I really wanted to go over the running anymore, but when you get glimpses into the grace of God in people's lives, and it's right down where they live, it's just so helpful, so edifying. And we're talking about men that we read about that we're not going to know them until we get to glory, and men that we know today that are in your lives. And we learn from them. So, yes, I'm going to respect the 15-minute window, but there's just a few portions that give you a flavor or give you a glimpse into his life, what he lived for, what was his heartbeat, he was a disciplined man, and that he ran the race of following Christ. He ran with patience, and he ran with diligence, and he ran with earnestness. And he's kind of a Hebrews 11 type person for us in his own unique way. So his sport was just simply one way God made him, so God would magnify his name. But Eric so realized sport was such a secondary thing that he was about. Jonathan Edwards' resolution number one, or category one, last night was what? His life mission. What do you live for? And he said all that he did was to the glory of God, right? That's why we're here. A missionary colleague in China once asked Eric whether he ever prayed that he would win a race. Now, this is long after he's won the gold medal. He's in China. He's laboring as a missionary. And so some of these men he would meet in the mission field would just know about him. They never saw him run, but they realized he had some mighty accomplishments. Did he ever pray that he would win a race? The ready answer was, no, I never prayed that I would win a race. I have, of course, prayed about the athletic meetings, asking that in this too, God might be glorified. That typified Eric Little's attitude to the relationship of the Christian faith to his sport. It typifies a principle of Christian action in sport or any branch of culture or life, which is that all human cultural activities are to be brought into submission to the Lordship of Christ to find their truest expression. Through sin, everything may become perverted. The Christian, however, will seek to bring everything into obedience of faith and will desire the glory of God in all things. In doing that, the Christian will seek to use well the gifts which the Lord has given him or her. Eric Little certainly felt that the Lord had given him a gift for running. So his mission, his purpose in life, was to run well in Christ, and running in a race was just one component of that. He saw that there was a bigger, your work, your life, you driving a truck, whatever we're about, that God would be on it. D.L. Moody going to the barber shop, remember that story? Woodrow Wilson's in there, and D.L. Moody comes in. Most of the men don't fully know who he is, and the whole atmosphere in the barbershop began to change as D.L. Moody just was talking, interacting with the men. Woodrow Wilson knew who he was. He's watching this. It's incredible. And he's just being himself. He's walking in the Spirit, right? Category number 9 last night. How did Jonathan Edwards relate to others? He had resolutions about how he would conduct himself, how he would carry himself. This is a man who watched Eric. He was a jumper, but he was not jumping, a high jump or whatever it was at that point. And he heard that Eric was there, so he went over to watch him. I remember with delight an incident which occurred that afternoon. Eric was preparing for the 220-yard race. I was not jumping for some minutes, so was able to see what happened. Eric had brought a small trowel with him to dig holes for starting. You know how you get your little footholds? And he carefully went from one man to another of his opponents in the race and offered each of them the use of his trowel. Most of them, four, I seem to remember, accepted. All the nearby spectators appreciated the action, and a large number of athletes who recognized the Scottish champion had gathered as close as possible to view him. All having prepared, Eric walked to each opponent, shook his hands, smiled with a very sunny smile. He then got on his marks with them, was off at the gun, and won a very fine race from the outset. I had learned a lot about him, and now I had seen him. I came away feeling that I had witnessed a gentleman doing all a gentleman should do. Afterwards, when I heard he had gone to China, I realized that I had been watching a Christian in action. He had a humble spirit. He has shown thee, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of thee, to do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with thy God. He wins a gold medal. And almost in a sense, he goes, whoop-dee-doo. That's not what I'm here for. He just had he knew in a sense once he broke the tape or he finished the gold medal race, at that point, it was almost like that was the gateway now to back to China. It's just incredible. He had saw his life calling. Of course, his parents had been in China laboring. That's where he grew up. So there's a lot of celebration or a lot of joy in sending him off, his colleagues, his college friends, and others. So now they're taking him, this is about a year later, they're taking him to the station. He's going to begin his journey to China. He's on a little carriage here. Y'all can't see the black and white picture. All along the route on Waverly Station, there were enthusiastic crowds cheering him on his way. Large numbers of people had gathered at the station to give him a send-off. On the platform, surrounded by the cheering crowds, Eric was compelled to give a few words as he left. He has one message. He said he was going out as an ambassador to another country. Their motto should always be, Christ for the world needs Christ. Entering the carriage, he leaned out of the carriage window and spontaneously sang two verses of the great missionary hymn by Isaac Watts. Jesus shall reign. Can you imagine leaning out the car at the carriage? Jesus shall reign wherever the sun doth her successive journeys run, his kingdom stretch from shore to shore, till moons shall wax and wane no more. He had one message. He had one race to run. This gives us a glimpse into his discipline of how he walked with Christ, and walked in the Spirit. Now, fast forward about 18 years. He's been in China. Things are rough because the World War II events between Japan and China. And so he's going to be put in an internment camp with some other men. But listen to the reflections on what his life was marked by. In the period before being interned, and I'm just not going to do well with these names. I'll do the best I can. Well, Heisen, in March of 1943, among other things, Eric published prayers for daily use for the Union Church in, I can't pronounce this city. In the preface, he tells readers, quote, I have tried to bring before you certain thoughts that I found helpful in the Christian life. The aim is that we should be like Jesus Christ, thoughtful, kind, generous, true, pure, and dependent entirely upon God's help, seeking to be the kind of man or woman he desired us to be, seeking in all things to do his will and to please him. The prayers, he adds, are not intended to take place of your private devotions. A section entitled The Key to Knowing God provides insight into Eric Little's own approach in his Christian faith. Here it is. One word stands out above all others as the key to knowing God, to having peace and assurance in your heart. It is obedience. To obey God's will is like food to Jesus, refreshing his mind, body, and spirit. Quote, my meat is to do a will of him that sent me. Obedience to God's will is the secret of spiritual knowledge and insight. It is not willingness to know, but willingness to do God's will that brings certainty. Think about that. Not just to know it. Happy are ye if you do it. For him who has ears to hear, let him hear. Walk in these things. If any man will do or obey his will, he shall know of my doctrine, whether it be of God and whether I speak of myself. John 7:17. Obedience is the secret of guidance. Every Christian should live a God-guided life. That was his mantra. I live a God-guided life. If you are not guided by God, you will be guided by something else. The Christian who doesn't know this sense of guidance in his life is missing something vital. Take obedience with you into your prayer hour, for you will know as much of God and only as much of God as you are willing to put into practice. Commitment to obey, follow God, trust God. He gets a brain tumor. They didn't know what it was. He began to feel more frail. He's in an internment camp. His last words, it's surrender. It's surrender. Needless to say, when the news of Eric's death became known in the camp, there was a universal mourning among the internees. What a great loss Eric Little was to the life of the camp. They had a service there in the camp there in China. 3 days later, huge crowd or people that had heard about him. Yesterday, a man said to me, this is the man who was overseeing it, Mr. Bryson, oversaw the service. Yesterday, a man said to me, of all the men I've known, Eric Little was one in whose character and life the Spirit of Jesus Christ was preeminently manifested. What was the secret of his consecrated life and far-reaching influence? Absolute surrender to God's will as revealed in Jesus Christ. His was a God-controlled life, and he followed his master and Lord with a devotion that never flagged and with an intensity of purpose that made men both see the reality and power of true religion. As with St. Paul, Eric could say, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Amen. And I pray. Father, thank you for this look into the life of your vessel. Thank you, Lord, that in the fullness of his days, God was with him. He walked with God. He knew you. He had grace to run as a young man. He had grace to die as a missionary in a part of the world with such chaos and darkness. He walked with you. He knew the truth of obedience. He knew the truth of following you. He had a heart that was new. He was drawn with cords of love. And he said, in so many ways, I am not my own, I'm yours. We thank you for Eric. I'm so grateful to be able to read about him, to know a little bit more of what you did in him. Thank you for those who've gone before us. Lord, they, being dead, yet speak it to us. We want to run with you as Eric did. We want to know truth in day-to-day living. We want this time together and these thoughts and these reflections, these admonitions, to build us and change us. Move us along. Move us along, Lord God. Oh, to be like thee. Stamp thine own image deep on our hearts, Lord. So much more to go on in, not to hold back. For those of us who are older now, Lord, we don't want to shrink back. We want to press on. We want to know more of you. So thank you, Lord, for today. Mercy, grace, friendship, and love. For the love of Jesus Christ here now with us. I pray that we would eat and drink to the glory of God. Today would be full of you. Blessed be your name. Amen.